This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The war in Ukraine has put European central bankers in a quandary. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Today, the European Central Bank will meet to discuss what to do about rising inflation across the Eurozone. Before Russia's invasion of Ukraine, policymakers had widely been expected to scale back their pandemic-era bond buying program, with some even speculating an interest rate rise might be in the cards today. Now, though, the picture is much more complicated, as Carsten Breske, chief economist for ING in Germany, explains.
The war in Ukraine has not only changed the world, but they have also changed really the economic prospects of the Eurozone. We now are looking into a future with higher inflation rates for longer. We are looking into a growth environment which will be weaker. And this has complicated the dilemma of the European Central Bank. Should they hike interest rates right now at the risk of actually choking off the recovery, or should they rather stay put?
The cost of living crisis, as we've talked about before, was already becoming a topic of dinner conversation, really, in many households across Europe. Now, with Russian supplies mostly cut off, that's surely going to make consumer prices worse. Can the central bank do anything about inflation now?
No, that's the whole thing. The European Central Bank can do nothing against this current high inflation. And we always said that there was very little the ECB could do to bring containers out of Asia faster to Europe. There was very little the ECB could do to produce microchips. And there is even less the ECB can do to stop this war. The only thing that they can consider right now is, does the economy still need monetary stimulus? And I think this discussion will take place today. We could actually see maybe a faster reduction of these asset purchases, but we will in no case will we see a tightening of monetary policy.
Carsten Breske from ING in Germany. Thanks for your time this morning.
You're welcome.
Well, we'll get that policy decision from ECB President Christine Lagarde in just a couple of hours. We're also hearing today from Ukraine's central bank chief, Kirilo Shevchenko. The BBC's Faisal Islam has more on that story.
Central bank governors ordinarily target inflation, but Mr. Shevchenko has the Russian economy in his sights. Mr. Shevchenko also believes that when the war ends, there will be a huge need for money to rebuild Ukraine. A large share of that, he says, should come in the form of reparations from the aggressor.
We need to implement a massive program of reconstruction of the country. A large share of financing is needed to be obtained as a reparation from the aggressor, including funds that are currently frozen in our allied countries.
He welcomes the sanctions imposed on Moscow, but thinks they should go further. He believes Russia should be thrown out of meetings of organisations such as the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank.
That's the BBC's Faisal Islam reporting there. Well, speaking of sanctions, breaking last hour, the UK has sanctioned 7 Russian businessmen with close ties to Russia's President Vladimir Putin. They include Roman Abramovich, the billionaire owner of Chelsea, one of the English Premier League's top soccer clubs. A new operating license will enable Chelsea to play scheduled games and pay its players and staff. But the sale of the club is now on hold, and it now cannot sell any new tickets or merchandise. Checking the numbers now, after easing off multi-year highs yesterday, Brent crude is up 5.3% at this hour to just above $117 a barrel. That's after the UAE's energy minister tweeted today that OPEC Plus will stick to its existing supply deal. His remarks appear to contradict the nation's ambassador to Washington, who said yesterday the group might increase oil production. That sent oil prices lower. That is weighing on European stock markets today, which are down in the 0.5% to 1% range. To South Korea now, where the rising cost of living has helped determine the country's next president. After a very tight election race, conservative opposition leader Yoon Suk-yeol will replace President Moon Jae-in. From Seoul, the BBC's Laura Bicker explains surging house prices was one issue that drove people to the polls this week.
Over the last 5 years under the current administration, under Moon Jae-in, there's been a feeling that he's mismanaged this housing crisis. So when it comes to the conservative Yoon Suk-yeol, who has won by the slimmest of margins, what he has promised to do is ease current property regulations guided by what he calls market principles. He's vowed to create at least 2.5 million homes in the next 5 years, including 500,000 here in Seoul. When it comes to taxes and property ownership taxes, he's going to increase housing transaction, raise the tax threshold for cryptocurrencies, because many people, especially young people, what they do is either they use cryptocurrencies or they take out a loan, massive loan, to then put down a deposit for an apartment, and then they get into rising debt.
Well, one of the really interesting things that you've been reporting about this election is that women's rights, feminism, has featured really prominently in all this, but it's actually young men angry that women are taking jobs and opportunities away as they see it.
And I think this comes from the competition that young people are facing for jobs, especially youth unemployment has been a little bit stubborn. And part of the problem, certainly young men feel, is that the Moon administration has concentrated on women. Now, if you look very closely, it hasn't really done very well. It's still got the worst gender pay gap in the developed world. But men seem to perceive, certainly, that women are getting all the attention, that there's this affirmative action to try to get more women in jobs. But women also feel that this anti-feminist backlash is trying to silence them. So you've got a real gender split, and that came out in the vote. And that is something certainly that this new conservative president will have to deal with. He's pledged to abolish the Gender and Equality Ministry. Whether or not he carries out that pledge, having seen how many women have voted against him, we'll have to wait and see.
The BBC's Laura Bicker for us in Seoul. Thanks for breaking this down for us.
Thank you. Lovely to talk to you.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.